Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Thank you very much, Jay. Last week, we started our study on angels, and we found out that angels act as guardians for all of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And in addition, angels are fellow servants with us as we serve the Lord. In today's study, we'll see when angels were created. But before that, let's look at what angels do at the time of our death. Go with me, if you will, please, to Luke chapter 16.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Look what angels do at death. Go to chapter 16 of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more times I think about the eternity future and what's going to be happening there, and how I'm going to enter into eternity future. I told you I don't like flying airplanes. I hate flying airplanes. I keep getting on them because I have to go to these places. And sometimes when I get on an airplane, what I'm thinking about, now I'm not concerned about what's on the other side. I know what's on the other side. I'm just a little bit concerned about how I'm going to get to the other side. You know, maybe you're the exact same way. I mean, you know, when I'm at 35,000 feet and I'm anticipating the captain coming on and saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, we've lost power on all of our engines. We're going to have to go down." I'm not going to be sitting there and say, "Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going down. We're going to crash. I'm going to burn up. Oh, I can't wait." I'm not going to be excited for that. You know, getting through over to the other side doesn't really turn me on. But on the other side, I know what's going to happen. Look at Luke. Luke here. And in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 22. "And it came to pass that the beggar died." This is the rich man and Lazarus. "And the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom." And that Abraham's bosom, a Jewish phrase meaning to the location of those who are saints for the future. Angels are going to gather us around, taking us into his presence. Angels at death. Well, angels are key in Bible prophecy. They were key in the life of Jesus Christ. They're key in our lives today. But where did angels come from? When were they brought into existence? Many people talk about the fact that angels were actually prehistoric creatures. The word prehistoric is an oxymoron, which means it doesn't mean anything. There is no such thing as prehistoric. God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit were the only thing before history began. When did history begin? Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning." That is the beginning of history. When does it disappear? We move after chapter 20 of the book of Revelation and the time of the great white throne judgment, verse 11. We move into eternity future. There is no time in eternity future. In order to have history, you have to have time. And the only time existence has been in existence is from in the beginning, and it's always all the way over to the great white throne judgment. Nothing prehistoric. Angels were not prehistoric creatures. Angels were a part of God's creation. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 11, the Lord says, "In 6 days," that would be six 24-hour days, "I created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is." What day of creation did the Lord create angels? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to the book of Job, chapter 38, and let's see if we can get some information that'll help us know the day that God created angels. Job, chapter 38. You remember Job, of course. Job is the story of a man who God had blessed. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. And Job is living probably before the patriarchs. He's living in the area of Israel because in some of his descriptions of what would be considered dinosaurs there in chapter 40 and following, it describes them at the Jordan River. Job was a man who had health and wealth and family, and the devil one day in chapters 1 and 2 appeared with the angels and God to talk about Job. And the devil said to God, said, hey, the only reason he worships you is because you give him everything. You take everything away from him, he'll quit worshiping you. When the Lord said, okay, I'll tell you what, devil, I'm going to allow you to take everything except his life from him. You can take his wealth, you can take his health, you can take his family, but you can't take his life. Now go at it and we'll see what he does. Well, that's the record of the book of Job. The Lord decides he better visit Job. He's going to have a conversation with Job, and he speaks rather loudly so all of Job's neighbors can hear what he's saying. Here's what he said, chapter 38, the book of Job. Then the Lord answered out of the whirlwind, and he said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, you're asking me questions. You don't have the knowledge of really what you need to know. Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man. Stand up, Job, be a man that you ought to be. For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Here's the first question the Lord asked. Verse 4, where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Okay, Job, you got a problem. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it if thou hast understanding. Verse 5, who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Now look here in verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Their foundations for the earth, where are they fastened up, Job? Come on, get with the answer. Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, Job? And then the last statement he makes, verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And those two phrases, morning stars and sons of God, are angelic creatures. When the sons of God and the morning stars shouted for joy. Now put two verses together, and this is going to help us acquire and a compilation of all the verses that will help us know when angels were created. Verse 4, put this together with verse 7. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? That gives us a clue. Again, you put with the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, the Lord says, in 6 days I created the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. Now, he's not talking about 6 days of billions of years, because in that same context, he's laying out the plan for the Sabbath, the rest day, the seventh day. And he's not talking about the Jews resting for billions of years. He's talking about them resting for a 24-hour period of time in the seven-day week. So 6 days, I created the heavens, the earth. The seventh day, I rested. That's what you are to do. We have an idea now that when the Lord created the earth, all the angels were there to shout for joy, the sons of God and the morning stars. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, and let's see what day of creation it was that the Lord created these angels. Chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What he's left out there was the angels. And so the text should read, not that it's a mistranslation, it's a correct translation, but the Lord does not give us the details all the time about every single thing that happens. When you're looking, for example, and studying the doctrine of the Trinity, you don't do that with one verse. You do it with a compilation of verses, putting together, and it becomes your doctrinal statement on the Trinity. And there's other doctrines that we have to do the same thing. But putting together what Job chapter 38, verses 4 and 7 says, where were you when I created the foundations for the earth and when the angels sang joy? Now put that in context with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens, angels, and the earth. Now how do I know that's true? Because the text tells us in Job, when he created the earth, angels sang for joy, praised his name for creating the earth. So it was on the first day, the second act, when the Lord created angels. In the beginning, God created the heavens, the abode of angels, angels, and then the earth. And they rejoiced, they gave praise and honor to Jesus Christ for his creative acts. Now, were these all good angels? The answer is yes. Go to chapter 1, verse 31. Chapter 1, verse 31. And God saw everything. This is at the end of the sixth day of creation. And God saw everything that he had made or created. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, this, by the way, I like the Hebrew flavor to this phrase better than I do the English translation. It says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the Hebrew, if you translate it properly, abundantly excellent. Isn't that a fantastic thought? Everything he created was abundantly excellent. There were no evil angels at the end of the sixth day of creation. Everything he created was abundantly excellent, was very good. No sin, no activity of falling from grace with him had happened. At this point, everything was perfect, the end of his creation. Go to chapter 3 and verse 1. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. Some place between chapter 1, verse 31, and chapter 3, verse 1, there's the fall of Lucifer. Lucifer, according to the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, was created by God. He was in the Garden of Eden. The text says it. You can read it as well as I can. I'm just trying to save time. And he was the most prominent of all creatures that God had ever created to that point in time. But the text in chapter 28 of Ezekiel says, because of his pride. And you put that together with Isaiah 14, where five times he exercises his free will. You see, angels all have a free will, but they can only exercise it one time. There is no such thing as redemption for angels. They can exercise their free will. They did that. A number of them did that when Lucifer, the name of that angel created, that most prominent of all creatures on the earth at that time, placed in the position of prominence by Jesus Christ, the Creator himself, when he decided to rebel against God. I will. Five times exercising his free will. I will be equal with God. I will rise above the heavens. I will be worshiped in Jerusalem. And on and on. He created a perfect being who decided that he was going to be better than the Creator himself. And so he exercises a free will and he falls. He falls because of his exercise of rebellion in his free will, never to be redeemed.
Indeed, Lucifer and all the angels that rebelled against God with Lucifer will never be redeemed. Their punishment is in the lake of fire prepared for them, and that punishment is eternal. Praise the Lord that you and I can be redeemed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Next week, as we continue our study on angels, we'll learn how they play a key role in the end-of-time scenario that can be found in Bible prophecy. Please join us for that study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...